Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Jesus said, "The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In today's world, a person who claims that God speaks to them might be considered crazy. In books and films and TV shows, crazy people often claim that God was speaking to them. Our culture has equated hearing from God with mental instability. But in the Bible, God spoke to people many times. But, you say, we have the Bible, and that is how he speaks to us now. I agree completely that the Bible is God's word for us. But not only that, any message that is perceived as from God must not be in conflict with what is revealed in the Scripture. But can and does God use other methods to communicate with his people? The first part is academic. Can he? Of course. He can do anything. The real struggle for many believers today is, does God speak to us personally? And if so, how do I recognize his voice? In the digital age, we know who's calling us before we even answer the phone, because their name shows up on your smartphone screen. But there are some people that you would recognize by the sound of their voice, even without caller ID. You've talked with them so many times that it's automatic. I have one friend who begins every conversation by saying, "Hey!" I know it's him by the word that consistently comes from him to open every conversation. On the other hand, when you get a robocall about your car's warranty, it only takes a few words for you to know something is wrong and you don't want to keep listening to this conversation. We know the voice of someone we love and trust because of the hours invested in conversation with them. And it's the same thing with the Lord. The more you get to know him, the quicker you recognize his call. Of course, likewise, when you hear a counterfeit voice, you would do well to hang up. Now, the first step to hearing God's voice is to know him, to have relationship with him. When Samuel was a little boy, he was staying with the priest Eli. One night, after lying down, he heard a voice call him by name, "Samuel, Samuel." He mistook the voice to be that of Eli, and he ran in to see what he wanted. But the old man said, "I didn't call you." This happened 3 times before Eli realized that it was the Lord. He told young Samuel, "The next time you hear the voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" After that first encounter, Samuel learned to hear with spiritual ears. He grew up and became the first official prophet to Israel. He anointed kings and subsequent prophets, but it all began by learning to recognize that voice. And even though Samuel was living in the house of the Lord, being raised by a man of God, he needed to get acquainted with the Lord's voice in order to recognize it. The same can be true for someone who has spent their life in church, but have never heard from God personally. We need to get acquainted with his voice. It is also possible to know the source of the voice and yet not have a personal relationship with the one who is speaking. Acts chapter 9 tells the story of Paul's conversion. When he was still known as Saul of Tarsus, he was on his way to Damascus. He heard a voice call him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" His response seems a little odd, for he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew it was the Lord, and though he was very religious, he didn't know who the Lord was. It is interesting to note in Paul's account of the same story later in Acts chapter 22 that other people heard the sound but didn't understand it. Many people read the Bible, many people quote the Bible, many people acknowledge the Bible is God's Word. Sadly, it's possible that many of them don't know the author of the book personally. They believe he exists, they believe his words, but they never knew him. If you only know of him, get to know him. Learn to hear his voice. Learn to obey his voice. When your ear is tuned to heaven, you'll hear things that others do not. Now, there are three stories that take place right after the resurrection of Christ. The first one involves Mary at the tomb. She saw Jesus standing there, yet she did not know that it was Jesus. He said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Sometimes we have made assumptions that cloud our understanding. This clears up immediately when he calls us by name. In other words, he lets us know that he knows who we are and right where we are at. The next story involves two men on the road to Emmaus. After walking with Jesus for some time, he broke bread with them, and then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And they said to one another, "Were our hearts not burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" We often hear from the Lord during fellowship and teaching. You should expect to hear from God when you're in church. And the third story is one of the disciples who went fishing. It's not uncommon to go back to familiar surroundings and behaviors when there has been a crisis or overwhelming events that we don't understand, and I believe this is what the disciples were doing. When the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know it was him. He said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish to eat, do you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find fish." So they cast it, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great quantity of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. You know, sometimes my 21st century Western mind finds things humorous in the language of the New Testament. Peter heard that it was the Lord, and so he put his clothes on and threw himself into the sea. He was so excited at the notion of seeing Jesus that he put his clothes on and threw himself into the sea. There was nothing casual about this encounter. Now, John recognized it was the Lord's voice because the same thing happened 3 years earlier when they first met Jesus. Sometimes his voice is discernible because of the supporting demonstration of his actions, which are consistent with his history. And I've heard people say that the Lord never does the same thing twice. Well, nothing is further from the truth, and this story is one case. But the Bible is full of stories of God repeating his actions. Joshua crossed the Jordan River in much the same manner that Moses crossed the Red Sea. In 1 Kings, Elijah raises a woman's son from the dead. Then in 2 Kings, Elisha repeats the miracle with another woman's son. Jesus cleansed the temple in John 2 at the beginning of his ministry, and then again at the end of his ministry in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew 14, Jesus feeds 5,000. Then in chapter 15, he feeds 4,000. God is faithful and trustworthy, and he often demonstrates these traits by doing things that we can recognize because of past miracles that could only be from him. So what can we learn from these three stories? First, hearing his voice requires resurrection. We must be raised to new life in Christ. From Mary, knowing him begins with the fact that he knows us intimately. From the two on Emmaus, being in communion with him enhances our ability to hear from him. And finally, from the fisherman, remembering what he has done in the past helps us to recognize him now. Sometimes we need to hear from God when he feels so far away. Often we face an hour of darkness, and this has happened even to great persons of faith. God made a covenant with Abraham while terror and great darkness fell upon him. Jacob wrestled with an angel at night and became Israel by morning. Jesus came to the disciples walking on water in the middle of a storm at night, and a midnight earthquake freed Paul and Silas from prison. I was part of a great church in La Mesa, California, and we were building a new sanctuary. So on Saturdays, I would go and try to help by sweeping, moving scrap lumber, hauling trash, you know, things that don't require a lot of training or skill. I was working there one day, and I had my youngest daughter, Jamie, with me. I was working outside the building, and Jamie decided to go exploring. She found her way up a stairwell that had no lighting, and when she got so far that no outer light was visible, she got scared, and I heard her begin to call, "Dad, I'm lost." "It's okay," I said. "I'll keep talking, and you follow my voice." So I talked her down until she found daylight, and she came running out of the building and hugged me. She knew my voice, and she knew that I would not let her perish in the darkness. We need to know the shepherd's voice. We need to know that he will call us out of darkness. The great Francis Schaeffer's first book was The God Who Is There. The next was Escape from Reason, and then he followed it up with He Is There and He Is Not Silent. It's one thing to believe that God exists. It is life-changing to invite him to speak into your life. He who has ears, let him hear. This phrase is often found in the Gospels as well as the book of Revelation. Everyone has physical ears, but this phrase appeals to those who have spiritual ears. But having ears is not enough. We must also listen. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone who just won't stop talking? You would like to say something, but they never seem to even take a breath. Or do you know someone who has their earbuds so firmly implanted that they seem to be a part of that person's body? You cannot have a conversation in those kinds of situations. And it's the same thing with hearing the voice of the Lord. If I am distracted by other noise or too busy talking myself, I will miss important things that I need to hear. One night, I was in my office praying, and the phone rang. I answered it, only to hear a robocall trying to sell me something. I hung up in frustration, and then immediately I heard the still small voice say, "Now you know how I feel when I'm trying to talk to you." Ouch! Elijah spent the night in a cave at Mount Horeb, and the Lord was passing by, and a great and powerful wind was tearing out the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and the voice came to him. I've always called this the original earth, wind, and fire story. But the point of it is his is often a still, small voice. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just need to chill out in order to hear him. The book of Hebrews says that God has spoken for a long time through the prophets and in many other ways, and ultimately through his son Jesus. Jesus is called the Word of God. Ultimately, Jesus Christ is God's perfect vehicle of communication to man. And yet we still have the Bible, which is also called the Word of God. And I think that there are other ways that God can speak to us. Ephesians 4 talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And I believe God still uses people in those offices to speak to his church. Have you ever been in service or a Bible study and the message was so perfect for you, you felt like God was speaking right to you through that teacher or pastor? Many times as a pastor, someone would come up after the service and say, "That message was just for me." Now, the truth is, I prepared it for the entire congregation, but I understand what someone is saying. It hit them so square in the middle of where they were and what they needed to hear. To them, it was God speaking directly to them through me. In Acts chapter 15, it says, "It seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas." And then a few verses later, it says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." So sometimes God can speak to you through other people that you know and trust. Proverbs 11 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." There is a very important place in our lives for godly counsel. Now, I'm not saying that a counselor or a pastor or a traveling evangelist or anybody that gives themselves a title is the mouthpiece of God. We need to hear from him personally, but I also believe that many times in my own life, I have heard from God through a person that I know loves God and trusts God and hears from God themselves. I'm very careful about personal prophecy, and just because somebody says, "Thus saith the Lord," or they come to me and say, "God told me to tell you thus and so," doesn't mean that I have to receive that. The truth is, Paul tells us that we should judge prophecy, and it should line up with the Bible, which is the great measuring stick for all truth. It should also be consistent with church history, the founding fathers, and the consensus of those who, over the ages, have proclaimed the Word of God. And it should also bear witness within your own spirit. 1 John 2 says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him remains in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you remain in him. Now, obviously, John is not saying that there are no teachers in the body of Christ. He sent a letter which was instructing the followers. What he's saying is, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you don't need somebody else being the voice of God for you. You can hear from him yourself. Jesus made this promise. He said, I will send my Spirit, and he will lead and guide you into all truth. In Acts chapter 16, it says that the apostles were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go and speak the word in Asia. Now, when Paul gives account of this same story in the book of 2 Corinthians, he says, I had no rest in my spirit. So doing a little scriptural algebra here, you can see that when you don't have peace in your heart or rest in your spirit, that is the Holy Spirit telling you to wait. I use that principle many, many times. If I pray about something and going forward or making a decision, if I still don't have peace in my spirit, I just wait until the Holy Spirit gives me a green light. I have two children that I love and six wonderful grandchildren. And I love to have conversation with them whenever that's possible. I love to talk to my kids, and I love to hear from my kids. I believe our Heavenly Father really wants to have conversation with us. I believe that He wants to speak to you. Don't you want God to speak to you? I encourage you to take some time every day and be still and listen for the voice of God. And you can begin by praying this prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.